Chapter 29, continuing the purport, long, long purport. Text number 10 and 11. And we should finish the purport today.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Resha,
Giraha,
Tivra,
Tapu,
Kashubha,
Jnana,
Prapta,
Sachuta,
Ashlesha,
Nirvitya,
Jina,
Mangalaha.
We
just chant the first verse.
Dusaha Preshta Viraha
Dusaha Preshta Viraha
Tivratapa Dutashubaha
Tivratapa Dutashubaha
Jnana Prapta Chutashlesha
Jnana Prapta Chutashlesha
Nivityakshina Mangalaha
Nivityakshina Mangalaha
Dusaha
Continuation of the purport of today's verse by Vidyananda Maharaj and even other disciples of Srila Prabhupada.
For those gopis who could not go to see Krishna, intolerable separation from their beloved caused an intense agony that burned away all impious karma. By meditating upon him, they realized his embrace, and the ecstasy they then felt exhausted their material piety. Although Lord Krishna is the supreme soul, these girls simply thought of him as their male lover and associated with him in that intimate mood. Thus their karmic bondage was nullified, and they abandoned their gross material bodies. Take on where we left off yesterday with the purport. We covered, or at least we discussed, quite a lot about the nullification of various forms of karma on the path of devotional service. And yesterday we discussed more on how we to see everything in relationship with Krishna, to see Krishna in every situation we find ourselves in, and to also understand Krishna as being the actual enjoyer of everything, including our very self. So today we'll carry on and we'll see what Srila Prabhupada, another Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is more or less, I looked this morning at the Sharata Darshini, which is the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on this verse. And it's more or less word for word. It probably is. It's just slightly different translation of the same commentary, which we find in today's purport, as is actually there in the comments of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on this particular verse. So this is basically speaking, what we're reading is the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So we'll continue with that commentary presented by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes, however, to proclaim the excellence of bhakti yoga, Krishna will allow a devotee to go back to Godhead in his self-same body, as in the case of There are some direct references mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam that they went back to Godhead in their self-same body. Do you remember? There's one famous verse. Pardon? Arjuna, you say Arjuna? Pandavas. Huh? Pandavas. It is stated there. They went back to Godhead in their self-same body. Now, the Vishnu Chakravarti here also mentions Dhruva Maharaj, who also went back to Godhead in his self-same body. This is very mystical. And it is very mystical. The whole subject matter is, in one sense, very mystical. Because it is being orchestrated by Yogamaya, supreme mystic, I would say, on behalf of Krishna. He's a supreme mystic. But he is a mystical expansion, or mystical energy of the Lord, orchestrating all these wonderful pastimes and arrangements to facilitate the pleasure of the Lord, pleasure of the devotees. We can cite evidence for this point from the 25th chapter of the 11th canto, text 32. Yena me nirjitak somya guna jivena cittajaha bhakti yogena mannishto madbhavaya prapadyate. A living entity who conquers the modes of material nature, which are manifested from the mind, can dedicate himself to me, Krishna, by the process of devotional service, and thus attain pure love for me. Here, the Lord states that the defeat and destruction of that which is composed of the modes of material nature can be brought about only by the process of devotional service. Therefore, what we should understand from the present verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that the gopis, who could not go to see Krishna, had their inauspicious material bodies removed or burned up, while their auspicious spiritual bodies, far from being destroyed, simply grew more prominent because of the ecstasy the gopis felt by embracing Krishna in meditation. Thus, their bondage was completely destroyed. By the help of Yoga Maya, they got free from ignorance and also from the prohibitions of their husbands and other relatives. We should not make the mistake of explaining this falling away of the gopis' bodies as being a result of their dying. As the Lord himself states in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10:47-37, Yamaya kritipara priyam vanesmin braja astitaha alabdarasa kalyanyo mapur madvirya chintaya. Some of those all auspicious gopis could not directly join me in enjoying the rasa dance on that night in this Vrindavan forest. Yet still they achieved my association by remembering my transcendental pastimes. By using the word kalyanya in this verse, the Lord implies even though these gopis wanted to give up their bodies because of their husbands' prohibitions and the torment of separation from me, for them to die at the very beginning of the most auspicious festival of the rasa dance would have been displeasing to me and thus inauspicious, so they did not die. More evidence that the gopis who were prevented from going to see Krishna did not physically die is provided by a statement of Sri Shukadeva's later in this canto. Sa uchorudavam krita satsande shagata smitihi. Then they, the gopis, replied to Uddhava, feeling satisfied because his message had reminded them of Krishna. He Here we understand that the gopis speaking to Uddhava were the ones who had not had the chance to participate directly in the rasa dance because of being held captive in their homes. Thus, the conclusion is that they gave up their material bodies without dying. Parched by the intense heat of separation, their material bodies gave up their materiality and became purely spiritual, just like the bodies of such great devotees as Dhruva Maharaj. This is the meaning of the gopis giving up their bodies. The following analogy illustrates the statuses of the various gopis. By observing 7 or 8 ripe mangoes on a tree, we can ascertain that all the fruits of the tree are ripe. Then we can pick them all and bring them home. We're in due course, the sun's rays and other agents will make them fine-looking, fragrant, and delicious, fit to be offered to the king for his enjoyment. When the time comes for the king to take his meal, a discriminating servant can choose those fruits which are ready to offer him. From the appearance of the fruits, the servants can tell which are ripe in the middle, but still raw on the outside, and thus not yet fit for the king. By the application of a special heating process, these remaining fruits will become ripe in 2 or 3 days, and then they too will be ready to offer to the king. Similarly, among the Munichari, among the Munichari, we have Munichari Prabhu here, but here we're referring to the Munichari Gopis. Who are the Munichari Gopis? Munichari Prabhu, tell us all about the Municharis. But why are they called Municharis?
It's
They were sages in Lord Ramchandra's pastimes. And what did they do to end up being young gopis? Gopis in Vrindavan being prevented from entering into the Leela, at least most of them. Did everyone get the gist of that? Gist of it is that these particular gopis, these Munichari gopis they're called, is one category. There are 4 categories of gopis mentioned here, and the response or the reciprocation was a little different in each case according to their particular category which they're in. And the Munichari gopis, the ones mentioned here, as Munichari Prabhu mentioned, they were in a previous lifetime, they were the sages in Dandakaranya forest. Where's Dandakaranya? Tell us about the Dandakaranya forest. Where is it?
It's gone to Nandagram.
You've gone to Nandagram? Oh, tell us about Nandagram. You're hearing all these wonderful transcendental names reminding us of these wonderful pastimes. So these Municharas were in the Dandakaranya forest. And they, when they saw the beautiful face of Lord Ramchandra, they became attracted. All attracted. But their attraction towards him was in this conjugal mood. Although they were in male bodies. I don't think Prabhupada would say sometimes that this is only for those in female bodies. This is only a temporary coat that we're wearing. Actually, by nature, all living entities are prakriti, which is sometimes described as female. So it's nothing to do with the body which we have, which distinguishes our necessary affection towards Krishna in one of the rasas. So these sages in the forest of Dandakaranya, they became attracted to Lord Ramchandra in this mood, but that wasn't the mood of Lord Ramchandra as such. But because he is a Christian also, so he promised them he would fulfill their desire in the future, in his next appearance or future appearances, Lord Krishna. They would be enter into the pastimes. And this is how these particular devotees, there are some of these gopis are Nityasiddhas. They are eternal associates, I think Nityasiddhas. They are coming with the Lord. They're his internal associates. So his, they're not coming up, so to speak. They're coming with the Lord. So they, of course, they're automatically there in the leelas. But other devotees who are attracted to the Lord in this particular way, they enter into the pastimes of the Lord when he appears in this world, in this case in Gokul Vrindavan. And then by the association of those eternal associates, they become eligible to enter into Goloka Vrindavan. They develop that particular mood in their association. So these Municharas, they're entering in now to this pastimes in the mood of the the gopis of the eternal associates of the Lord in that conjugal mood. And thus, by the association of those pure devotees, those Nityasiddhas, those Nityapreshtas, associates of the Lord, they get free of any kind of identification with this world by that association. Similarly, among the Munichari gopis who took birth in Gokul, those who completely gave up the materiality of their bodies and very early in life achieved purely spiritual bodies were able to remain untouched. Now there are two things going on here. One are those who were very early mentioned here. They gave up all kinds of material attachment and designations. So they had no contact. They had no material contact with their, even if they had so-called husbands. They gave that, they were completely pure, their bodies were purely spiritual. They were able to remain untouched by any other man. Thus, Yogamaya allowed them to join the Nityasiddha and other advanced gopis when they went to meet Krishna. So they were allowed to go. They had no, not even a trace of attraction or identity with their, even if they had families or whatever it was, they had no identity with that at all. Yogamaya allowed them to join the Nityasiddha and other advanced gopis. Other Municharas, gopis, still remained, or retained rather, some connection with the external material body. But even they, after being parched by the heat of separation from Sri Krishna, this is very, the material world, of course, is a blazing fire of material existence. It's another perverted form of being separated from Krishna. Either way, there's a blazing fire there. In the material world, the blazing fire has maybe a different effect. It doesn't remove that in of itself. Anyway, it doesn't remove the material. It may appear to remove the material body, but it just creates another material body. We don't actually get rid of the cause of having our material bodies by absorbing ourselves in the blazing fire of material existence. But this blazing fire, we can hear about this, we may not be in this blazing fire, but we can hear about this pastime, and by hearing about it we might also become a little bit free from the blazing fire of material existence and attracted by the mercy. Every morning we sing Samsara Dala Navalida Loka Tinaya Karanaganatman. By the mercy of the spiritual master, he's extinguishing that blazing fire of material existence. And just like the Goswami said, they were showering upon the world. This is like a shower. The blazing fire is extinguished by a great shower. And that shower is pastimes about Govinda, songs about Govinda. This is the, it extinguishes this blazing fire of material existence. When we hear about these pastimes, if you're hearing about here, Bhagavatam, this can help to extinguish the perversion that the blazing fire which we experience in this world, separation from sense gratification or the objects of sense gratification or our material bodies and so on and so forth, which also brings agony and distress to the conditioned soul, but further entangles them in the material whirlpool. with this blazing fire that the gopis have experienced, if there is any trace of a material concept, it is burnt up in this fire. This blazing fire, which is the real Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, as mentioned, Kechit Kevalya Bhakti, Vasudeva Prana. This is a very, very soul who engages in unpointed, fixed devotional service with no other Anyabhilasita, Shunyam Jnana Kamajanavitam. Doesn't have any other motive whatsoever. His motive is only one, fixed. His devotion is completely fixed, unwavering, uninterrupted. Then this Tivrena Bhakti Yogena is like the sun which burns up everything. Sometimes Krishna Surya Sam, my high Andhakar, is likened to the sun. So when we associate with the sun and all these dirty things are evaporated, we just have to keep in that association. And here we see the gopis, their association is these particular Municharas who were not able to go, they still had a little bit of affection. Whatever it was burned up. That material body means their identification, this material world, or this, that which leads to the development of material bodies, was completely burned up in the fire of their meditation upon Krishna. Yesterday we were discussing, I think, what Prabhupada's name is he here? Philip, is that his name? One young devotee who comes regularly, maybe not here this morning. We were discussing yesterday about, he was asking about devotional service in meditation. So we remembered the pastime, which is nicely explained, so beautifully explained by Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion. That one Brahmana, he may have had a different relationship with Krishna, not at conjugal love, more in reverential love. But his meditation on the Lord, here Rupa Goswami is explaining, and Prabhupada has revealed to us that pure meditation on the Lord is not different than actual activity itself. It's non-different. It's spiritual. Completely spiritual. So this Brahmin was meditating. He was very poor Brahmin. Very poor. Here we have the facilities to offer the Lord such beautiful, what gorgeous outfits and beautiful offerings of wonderful prasadam and so many nice items offered for his pleasure, or their pleasure. We're very fortunate here, Krishna's providing, but it may not always be the case. So this Brahmin, he didn't have that facility. He was poor, poor Brahmin. But he was desiring to offer the Lord all kinds of wonderful things. So he was in meditation. He was meditating on dressing the Lord in the most opulent outfits, beautiful jewelry and garments, decorating his hair and offering him wonderful bhog offerings. And he would go in his meditation. It wasn't like he was just like in a meditation, just sort of in a flick of the mind you think of it, but he was actually meditating on each and every action, just as if you were doing it, meditating on walking to the river Jamuna and collecting the water and bringing it back, and then meditating on bathing the Lord and meditating on them preparing them offering to offer the Lord. Each and every step he was living it. It was real. It was really like that. And then one day he was preparing sweet rice, kheer. So he wasn't quite sure that it was still too hot to offer. So he decided he would check it out. So he went to test it with his little finger, and his little finger touched the pot and it was very hot and it burned his little finger. And he's all in meditation. And then suddenly he came out of his meditation. And he looked and he saw his finger was burned. And Lord Narayan, his relationship was with Lord Narayan. So Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha began to laugh and laugh and laugh. And Lakshmi wondered, why are you laughing? What's happening? Nothing seemed to be happening. He couldn't see any reason. But he was laughing and laughing. Anyway, I will tell you. And he showed him, showed her what was going on. This Brahmin went down actually to the Brahmin and explained this pastime of the Brahmin in his meditation. So pure meditation is non-different than actual service itself. We mentioned yesterday, we at our stage, we shouldn't imitate that as such. Of course we can always try to focus our mind on Krishna, no doubt, but we shouldn't imitate this Brahmin and think, oh, I will just meditate on doing my service. I will meditate about going to Mangalarti. I will meditate on it. I will meditate on going on Sankirtan. Of course it's something. All right, you can meditate on taking breakfast as well. See how advanced you are. You can meditate on going to the toilet. Right? That's basically what it would come down to. Yeah, meditation, return to that kind of thing. But that we will not do. We're not on that level. But we can hear about these wonderful things. These Municharas were totally, their meditation was so absorbed, so deep, and so attractive to Krishna. Krishna's attracted by the attitude, you know. When the attitude is pure like this, then Krishna is very attractive. As we mentioned yesterday, like a child. Our child, mother is affectionate towards the child, gives her everything to the child, because the child has no other object of shelter. The child is not, it only goes to the mother, or maybe the father, or what, but usually the mother, the baby. There's no other shelter there. When you have no other shelter other than Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate accordingly. He'll give his protection, he'll reveal himself. So these gopis, they didn't take shelter of anything else. They had something. They had husbands and maybe children and so on and so forth. It said after this incident that even if they had children, there are different commentaries, but commentary says that even if they had children, after this incident, they no longer had material bodies. Whatever relationship they had with their husband after that was, they were like ghosts, it said. They were like statues. They were just, if they were hardly there anymore, all their breasts, they all shriveled up. There was no question that if they had children or feeding them anymore or relating, they were completely, in another world. And it said that externally maybe whatever was being seen, but their actual real, their consciousness was completely spiritual, in spiritual bodies. Anyway, there were so many different types of gopis and different ways the Lord reciprocated with them to bring them back to Godhead, to bring them into the Leela. Other Munichari gopis, I read that, I think. On the night of the Rasa dance, Yogamaya sent some of these gopis out. He's always trying to, like the spiritual man, he's always trying to bring us to Krishna. He's saying every morning, the spiritual master is, he's actually doing this, he's trying to bring us into the Leela. He's trying to bring us into this Leela. Krishna's passing, he's always trying to bring us in. Some of us are a little stubborn, we're hanging on there. Well, I'm certainly in that category. But the Lord, the spiritual master, was trying every way he can to remove all of those material identities and affections. Sarupadi vinim, tantapada dvena nirmala. And how is he doing? Rishikeshu, Rishikena Bhakti Seva, Rishite. He's engaging us in at our level, even though we're not on this level of devotion. We're certainly not on the level of Bhava Bhakti, even on Nish Bhakti, what to speak of Bhava Bhakti. You know, these gopis are feeling ecstasy and thinking of Krishna. We're still groveling mostly in the Bhajana Kriya stage. Trying to get up in the morning, trying to chant Hare Krishna sometimes, trying to do this and that, struggling, mostly. But this is still a very fortunate situation. We're so fortunate, and we have the most great fortune is that we have the association. What qualification we have, I just don't know. But the only real qualification is the first year Srila Prabhupada. He's some or other given us this association. And if we try our sincere best to serve Prabhupada and his mission, this is tremendously pleasing to Krishna. We cannot really imagine how pleasing this is. That we're assisting his most confidential associate in his service. So how much good fortune we cannot say. It's unending how fortunate we are. And he's so compassionately engaging us in this way, sometimes even without our knowledge, and he's accepting even a little bit of devotional service is very, very much appreciated by Srila Prabhupada, so even more so by Krishna. is more dear to Krishna when we serve his devotees than when we try to serve him directly. So this is a great fortune which we have, and he's preparing us. Spiritual master is preparing us. Day before yesterday, we were reading about Ramananda Roy and how he was preparing young girls. He was a mature man. But because he was so transcendental, he was not affected by the modes of nature in any way. He was preparing young girls for the pleasure of Krishna, so they could dance and perform drama and so on for the pleasure of the Lord. As a spiritual master is preparing us for the pleasure of Krishna in various ways. It's like in drama, when those who are actors know the science of drama, that the first law in acting or in drama is you have to forget who you are. If you go on the stage thinking, what am I doing here? I'm an engineer, I'm a doctor. What am I doing? You cannot. Well, you can make a fool of yourself. That's another form of entertainment, I suppose. But if you want to take part in the drama, in the role you're supposed to play, you have to forget the so-called role you have in this other world. Otherwise, in Sarvapada, you have to give up that designation, otherwise you can't really act. If you're the same with a tightrope walker, you know, if you walk on the ground and you're looking down, where's my brother? There's my wife down there. Oh, there's my darling little boy. Hey, how are you? You're going to fall off the rope in no time. Not going to get very far. Same thing in acting. If you're looking out wondering if who's out there watching me, and is that my wife over there, you're not going to be an act. It's not going to work. So the first rule is you have to forget who you are and totally identify with the part you play. And the material world is really a perverted reflection of the spiritual world, because that's the first thing Maya does. Yoga Maya does the other. And Mahamaya makes us forget who we are. You are not a servant of Krishna. You are Krishna. You are this body. You are the enjoyer. This world is for your pleasure. This is Maya's preaching. He's a very powerful preacher. And we are convinced, pretty much lock, stock and barrel. We've accepted it as absolute truth in some cases, practically. And it's our life. Oh, we're playing a good part in the material world. As long as you identify yourself with the body, you can play a good role. And the scene keeps changing, and your part in the drama keeps changing. You play a good role when you identify with it. And as soon as you start identifying, and any devotees have asked this question over the last few days, since I've been reading Prabhupada's books and chanting Hare Krishna and coming to the temple, I find it really difficult to carry on like I was doing before. This is like perhaps the biggest challenge that devotees face in this day and age almost. What am I going to do about it? And this is a fact in a sense. As soon as we start to realize a little bit, wait a minute, I'm not this body. I'm a servant of Krishna. It's hard to play this drama anymore. It's hard to play the part, you know. Anyway, that's another big subject in itself, but it's related. So this is in acting. The more, of course, we identify ourselves as a servant of Krishna, then the more qualified we become to take part in this drama. Business is to enter. We enter into the Rasa Lila, and we become qualified to enter into the eternal drama. The Rama drama, not the material drama, spiritual drama. Rama also means enjoy, real enjoyment. So these gopis, this is all also, you can say we can learn some lessons from this, because they were totally absorbed, therefore. Yoga Maya, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, we approach Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The more absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, I'll leave it to you to chant it more. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, the more absorbed in that meditation on this form of Krishna, and by the mercy of Hare, then all those material bombardments that come into our minds. I don't know if any of you ever experienced that when you chant Hare Krishna. Sometimes, occasionally, a material desire comes into the mind. Isn't it? sometimes you've experienced? No? No?
Not this morning.
Not this morning, no. We've forgotten already. This is our state of our mind. We can't even remember what we were thinking of 2 seconds ago. It's more than likely something material. I don't have a problem with it occasionally coming in myself, of course. It's always there. It's not an occasional, a constant. When a constant barrage is like the waves of the ocean coming in, always into the mind. But this is our bhajan priya. This is our endeavor. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, if we make that sincere endeavor and have faith that if we stick to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, I mean sticking to his, having faith in his instructions, even if sometimes we're not. In Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains this, even in the beginning stage, we may not be able to enact sometimes, we may not be able to even follow it. But if one is not, what's the exact word he uses, some of you may remember, resentful. One is not resentful of the, our inability or the instructions which we've given, or but one rather has a repentful or humble mood towards it. One attracts the mercy of Krishna. One attracts that mercy. And he will help us. Even though we may be a little weak-hearted, the Lord will help us if we're sincere and we don't try to justify our weak-heartedness in some concoction or something or another, or hide it or whatever it may be. But we're a little bit, humble in that sense. And we are a candidate to receive that merciful hand of the Lord and his devotees. So our meditation may not be so fixed as the gopis, and these thoughts come into our minds, but by the mercy of Hare, by the mercy of Sri Yogamaya Hare, by her mercy, the internal energy, ultimately Srimati Radharani, of course, by her mercy, then even though we may be struggling, we nonetheless, the purpose of our struggle is not to attain sense gratification, is to attain pure devotional service. We have some faith. Something is there. So gradually our hearts may, by the mercy of the Lord and the devotees, our hearts become cleansed. So, Rishikesh Rishikena, by their mercy, our activity, our endeavors are accepted in the category of devotional service, in the category of bhakti. And by the association of bhakti, this is bhakti purifies our heart, purifies the heart of bhakti, purifies the heart of the sarvopadi, the identification with the body, and cleanses. Tatpadadvena niyamala, the heart becomes niyamala. The heart becomes cleansed by the mercy of bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada is the personification, manifestation of bhakti. So, somehow or another, if we get his mercy, nothing is impossible. Our hearts can become cleansed, and we may become attractive to Krishna, and he will take us to the agency of Yogamaya. We may be taken into the spiritual world. As Dhruva Maharaj, he, when he was mentioned here, it was when he was leaving this world, he was in the reverential mood also, when the Vishnu Dutas, the residents of Vaikuntha, were coming to take him away, he, because of his mother, her name Suniti? It was Suniti, wasn't it? Suniti. His mother, although she herself was not exactly in the same, perhaps elevated state of consciousness, nonetheless, because she had helped him, she was his Vartma Pradarshika Guru, the one who pointed him in the right direction, he would not go back to Godhead without her. She had to come along. By the mercy of Dhruva Maharaj, she also went back to Godhead. And Prabhupada writes one wonderful purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, describing how that dog of Shivananda Sen, animals in Krishna consciousness, this is one of the famous animals in our Krishna consciousness book. So the dog of Shivananda Sen went back to Godhead by the mercy of Shivananda Sen. Even to enter into the Rasa Leela, these Munichari gopis, they had to get the association of the Nitya precious, those eternal associates who never had any affection for this material world. They're always affection for Krishna. By their association, they become eligible to enter into that Leela. So similarly, this dog had the association of Shiva and the saint. Prabhupada said if someone or another gets the good wishes, pure devotee of the Lord, it's paramount to Godhead, it is assured. So this, although in a dog's body, I don't know, it went back to Godhead in the self-same body, in a dog's body, maybe Krishna has dogs, he has pet dogs, you know that? He has two pet dogs, Brahmaraka and Vyagra. Maybe he has more, but they're the two leaders amongst his, at least the two mentioned in Nectar to Devotion, I think, with Bhagavatam, somewhere they mentioned. And nowadays, Vyagra means strong like a tiger. And they have, nowadays, the perverted reflection is a product called Vyagra, which is used in a perverted way. But it actually means to become strong and powerful, like a tiger. So Krishna has these dogs, so maybe he went in dog body, but whatever it was, this dog went back to Godhead. By the mercy of Shivananda Sen, he got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and back to Vaikuntha, or wherever he went. And Prabhupada writes, he says, that, kind of paraphrasing, he said he hopes that all the members or devotees of ISKCON society become pure devotees, so that by their good wishes, maybe not exact words, but like that, good wishes, by their good wishes, for all the living entities of the world, that all the living entities in the world will go back to Godhead, even without their knowledge. This is the power of the good wishes of a devotee, a pure devotee. We may have our shortcomings, but by the good wishes of a devotee, nothing is impossible. This is Śrīla Prabhupāda's mercy to deliver all the living entities. Very truly, Padadukaduki is only wishes to see all the living entities like Vasudeva Datta may go back to Godhead. May they all return to the spiritual world. This is the only real qualification, perhaps, that we can say that we have is simply the causeless mercy of Śrīla Prabhupāda wishing that we go back to Godhead. All we have to do is take hold of his hand. Even if we trip sometimes, don't let go of his hand. You will not fall. You may trip, but you won't fall away. Even if we fall, the pure devotees are still so merciful. They'll somehow or another endeavor to bring us back. Neverly, one time Prabhupada was asked this question. He said, Śrīla Prabhupāda, sometimes devotees leave ISKCON. Prabhupāda cut the devotee off. He said, nobody leaves ISKCON. I will not let them leave, he said. They may drift off, seemingly go to sleep for a little while or whatever it is. But Śrīla Prabhupāda will not let anyone go. Come, taking this mercy in any way. We'll just finish this purport. The heat of separation. This blazing fire which burns away all of the anattas in our heart. In devotional service, one time Prabhupada told that story that we're trying to cook from 300 miles away. And then he told the story of the king and the sage. The king had a wager with the sage. The sage was staying under the water. I don't know which river, but he was under in the winter time and it was cold. You know what it's like. Bad enough even in Melbourne, and in the winter it can get quite chilly. And I'm sure if you go and sit under the water in the bay out here, you'll feel pretty cold. I wouldn't try it, but I'm sure it's pretty chilly. And any of the sage was sitting under the river in the water in the winter, and he wasn't, he had no eating, nothing. So the king, how is this possible? I don't believe it. There's something going on here, some cheating going on. So he made a wager, if you're going to be able to sit and watch you. If you can do this all night, okay, I'm going to give you something like half my kingdom or something. Some kind of wager was there. So, someone had said a rich man anyway, whoever it was. So the sage was sitting there all night long, under the water. Morning came, he was still sat there. Hey, he's getting a bit irritated because now he looked like he'd lost the wager, the rich man or the king. So he was looking around, and he saw, I see you cheated. He says, in what way have I cheated? I know what you've done. Look down the river there. 3 miles down the river there was a little light. Somebody had a little fire burning, maybe 2 or 3 miles down the river. Said, all night long, you've been taking heat from that light. That's what you've been doing, from that fire. You cheated. You're not supposed to take help from anything outside. Oh, as you wish, but sages, you know, the man's mad, madman. And the servant was also thinking like that too. The rich man, the king's servant, was there. This is ridiculous. Even if he did, that itself is quite an achievement. So then he went back home, and by now, of course, the king was very hungry. He'd been out all night and cold. So he said, okay, hurry up now. Make the breakfast real quick. So the servant went down to the kitchen and started cooking. The king was upstairs waiting, when's breakfast coming? Looking at his watch. Hey, it's time for breakfast. It's already 8:45. When's breakfast going to come? Hurry up there, hurry up. And he sent someone down to tell him to hurry up. He came back and said, just now coming, just now coming. Nothing came. Half an hour later, he thought, I'm going to go and check this out myself. This is getting too much. 9:30 and breakfast is not ready. What's he doing, attending Bhagavatam class or something? What's going on down there? So he went down to the kitchen and saw the servant was there. And he looked, he thought, what are you doing? He saw the fire there with nothing on it. He said, I'm cooking. But there's nothing on the fire. Oh yes, there is. I don't see anything. Oh, look up there. On the ceiling. He had the pot of rice and dal and everything was hanging a couple of feet from the ceiling. And the fire was down here. He said, what are you doing? Are you crazy? You can't cook like this. He said, why not? That's ridiculous. You have to put the pot on the fire. How else is it going to heat up? He said, I thought it would be easy. If that sage last night was taking heat from 2 or 3 miles away, I thought it would be very easy to take heat from 10 feet away. But it doesn't seem to be working. It's still as hard as a rock. Now the king blushed and understood that he was wrong. So Prabhupada used that as an example to say, We're trying to cook from 300 miles away. A devotional service said has to be like a blazing fire if we want to remove all the deep down root matters. And we know our devotional service is not usually like a blazing fire. Maybe a little whimper sometimes. Like a little whimpering around. But ultimately, when we associate, how it becomes a blazing fire, if you put a wet rag into a big fire, the wet rag even ignites. But if you put it into a little fire, it'll go out. So we have to associate with a blazing fire, even if we're like a wet rag. So we associate with Srila Prabhupada. The more we can associate with him, in whatever way we can, hearing his lectures, reading his books, trying to practice what he's given us, and so on, serving his mission in whatever way we can, the more we associate, the more a chance there is that fire is going to get hotter and burn up all this. We can't do it on our own. If you simply try to fight it, you get all mental about it, you're meditating on all the anarthas, it won't work. The gopis weren't meditating necessarily on, oh my God, why have I got a wife and a husband and this or whatever they've got, kids and this and that. They were meditating on Krishna. Their focus was on Krishna. It automatically burnt up whatever may have been there in the trace form, in the unseen, in the trash can, whatever it was. You know, on the computer, you've got all these hidden things in the computer. You can't see them on the screen, but they're there in the folders or in the trash can. Or they've all got to be cleaned out. Got to be Krishna in all those folders, especially on the front screen. You know, you look on the, I don't know what you call it, like on the contents, and all these different programs there. You got to clear, at least put them in the folder so you don't look at them and only deal with them when you have to deal with them, or put them in the trash can even better, or just obliterate them all together. So eventually it's got to be just Krishna, but at least we can start where we're at and try to put Krishna more into our lives as much as we can where we are, and try to remember to associate with Prabhupada more if we can. And this will have a powerful, he's like a huge blazing sun. You can burn up, and if we associate with him, all of these, what we think are insurmountable challenges. And I wonder why he came in Prabhupada with so many problems. He's like burning in anxiety. And Father, I think he immediately calmed him down by giving him one simply wonderful. And you know, when you get something from Prabhupada's hands, just by coming to Prabhupada's association, isn't that right, Prabhupada? You may have experienced those who had the association of Prabhupada. You just come into his association, your anxieties, which are born of material contact, suddenly disappear. And when you get simply wonderful, of course, then you feel not just the disappearance of suffering, but you feel great pleasure. And Prabhupada said, with one kick of my foot, I can kick away all your so-called anxiety or distress. One kick. We just have to come close enough so we can get that one kick. And it can go. By Krishna's mercy and mercy of the pure devotee. All these clouds in our heart, which we're so much mentally out about and thinking that this is that, we have to deal with it in one sense. But ultimately, it's by the mercy of Krishna that they can be moved. Not by our endeavor alone. So we'll just finish this last paragraph. After enjoying the pleasures of the rasa dance and other pastimes with Krishna, the Munichari gopis who had participated in the rasa dance went back to their homes when the night was over. As did the Nityasiddha and other advanced gopis. They went back, but they were never the same again. But now Yogamaya protected these Munichari gopis from the material association of their husbands. In other words, these gopis were devoid of any selfish attachment for husband, children, and so on. Since these gopis were thoroughly immersed in the great ocean of love for Krishna, their breasts, Vishwanath mentions here, Vishwanath Chakravarti, their breasts dried up so that they could not feed their infants, and to their family members they appeared as if haunted by ghosts. In conclusion, it is not unseemly that the gopis who were previously in material association joined in the rasa dance. Some authorities, however, maintain that the gopis who were kept back in their houses did not have children. According to them, whenever such words as apatya, children, are used in verses yet to come, these words refer to the children of co-wives, to adopted children, or to nephews and nieces. So whatever it was, these are details. The main thing is their fixation on Krishna and their freedom from any attraction towards anything else whatsoever. So their real body, even if we look at it from the point of view of a subtle body, became completely spiritual. Totally spiritual. Or that which causes the development of material bodies, that's called karma, was burnt up. It means their karma was totally burnt up. Karma means that activity which causes the development of material bodies. So there was nothing of that left anymore. Completely gone. Either pious or impious. Gone. So there was no cause for any material body anymore. So yeah, that's pure devotional service. Something to look forward to. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Antarashtra Bhagavata.